Hello all. Let's today talk about what is financial management when it comes to public enterprises. So today we are going to see how government public enterprises or units do finance and its management. So today's topic is basically financial management. So we'll first understand financial management per se, public enterprises. So we'll define public enterprises. We'll evaluate the capital expenditure decision in public sector undertakings. We'll analyze the budgeting by public sector undertakings. We'll also try to look at pricing by public sector undertakings. Let's also understand what are the guidelines for public sector undertakings, how profitability and efficiency of public undertakings are calculated. We'll see the role of you as a financial advisor. In case you join any public sector unit as a financial advisor, what is your role? We'll study the public enterprise policy in public sector undertaking, and we'll evaluate the problems with respect to financial management and look at the current developments in public enterprises financial management. So let's talk about first, what do you mean by a public enterprise? Public enterprise is an organization which is owned by the government or public authorities to an extent of 50% or more. So in case government has a stake of 50-51% plus in any company, then that company is known as a public enterprise. Here the top management, that means since I have 51% or 50% plus rights in the company, I'm the owner of the company by more than 50%, I have the major right, I'm the owner of the company to take a lot of decisions. So the top management control is usually a public authority, and the entire engagement of this particular enterprise is not only at returns, but it is for some kind of a social good. So it would be always giving service to the public and trying to give output with respect to goods or services which are going to meet some kind of social objective. So here the enterprise is also owned, plus the objective is to help the society to get the right products or to get their best service. So as the definition says, we say public enterprises, they are also known as public undertakings. These undertakings are strictly government. And if you look at their term, they would basically be there only for those sectors where commercial or industrial activity is done in order to give some kind of service to the society. They are also referred as government-controlled enterprises or state economic enterprises or national companies. In United Kingdom, public enterprises are also known as nationalized industry, because most of these public enterprises are as result of nationalization of existing industries. In case of Latin America and African countries, public enterprises are known as parastatal or parastatal sector, because these are group of institutions or organizations or enterprises. They were basically empowered or formed by the state in order to cooperate with the government to give some kind of public administrative services. So in India, we call them PSUs, public sector units. And the entire idea of these public sector undertaking or unit is social good. So let's look at what are the key features of these public sector undertakings. First key feature of this public sector undertaking, when it comes to ownership, any public sector undertaking would have an ownership by the government, which would be more than 50%. So I'll say 51% and above of the company would be owned by the government. That is per se the ownership of a public sector undertaking. I'll define it to be a public sector undertaking only and only if it has more than 51% stake with the government. Next, come to objectives. Now, why will government actually open such kind of an undertaking? The only objective is maybe the sector in which the government has invested requires a huge amount of capital expenditure, or it basically needs a company to get into mining or maybe refinery energy sector, which is not possible for a standalone company to manage without government, you know, support. So maybe the objective is social. And that's the reason the government has ventured into that particular sector. So maybe providing you goods at fair prices is the objective, a social objective. Or since there is a lot of capital expenditure and it would be difficult for anybody else to venture, government will venture into it and give you the right product or service which is required. So objective could be to help the major part of the population to benefit with such kind of activity. So objective is social. The third, if you look at the feature, we are saying type of activity. So what kind of activities would this public sector undertakings do? These public sector entities would ensure it will provide you goods and services at cheaper price. So if, say, for example, infrastructure. In case if you look at infrastructure around, we talk about railways. Commuting is something which is very essential for each individual to earn money. And so you talk about railways, you see it is a PSU again, completely held by the government, and it's giving you service at a very, very cheaper price. So objective is social, to ensure movement of labor from one place to another, movement of people from one place to another. And it's ensuring that everybody is connected. It's not only movement of individuals, but also movement of goods. Okay, so giving carriage services. So type of activities would always be such that it ensures that there is social development and economic development. Talking about autonomy and accountability, when it talk about public sector undertakings, they are accountable to the Ministry of Finance. And there's a lot of autonomy given to them per se doing business. See, autonomy would come, but there are a lot of approvals also which are undertaken by these public sector undertakings to get funds in place. So autonomy and accountability lies with the Ministry of Finance, giving them those particular permissions or giving them that particular control if required. Next is social responsibility. Any such company which is formed by the government, the idea is very clear. It is to cater to the larger audience, to benefit the society. So it will always have a social responsibility towards the country. Next, now, if you look at public sector undertakings, in some of the undertakings, these undertakings are also able to generate good amount of surplus. So they are making good amount of surplus. They may also be involved in exporting the goods abroad. So why not? If that's the case, it also further leads to economic development. So you are catering to a larger chunk of people. You are making good amount of money and profit for the government. And that money would again in turn get used for expansion. It will increase the economic development and it will lead to growth in the economy. So yeah, the role is very clear. It's for social benefit, and if generated surplus, further used for economic development. The money gets utilized for the same. Since public sector undertakings are larger undertakings with good amount, with a very widespread and a very big investment, you see a lot of employment generation also happening. So employment generation is also a key when you talk about public sector undertaking. Government recruits a lot of people. They are put on the scale of whatever is the position offered to them. These jobs are very much secure. It comes with a lot of benefits. And so a lot of people feel that this public sector undertakings are a must in any country to ensure employment generation for masses. You will see a lot of government control in case of public sector undertakings. We already talked about ownership. Since the ownership is majorly with government, government would very closely monitor what kind of decisions are taking and would have the entire control with it. Now, let us understand, when we are talking about capital expenditure decisions, how do they actually shape up in public sector undertakings? See, I was just mentioning that public sector undertakings are those undertakings or businesses where the government has a very huge capital investment. So those sectors may be where the government has a huge amount of capital expenditure or is planning to procure or to maybe set up new assets or to build some kind of infrastructure. That particular company will require a huge chunk of money. And so how this money is going to flow when it comes to public sector units? How can you get this money? Why? Because this money again belongs to public. It belongs to individual, to the taxpayers, and the government is accountable for each penny spent of this money to basically showcase how well the company has performed, because this money belongs to the taxpayers. So any kind of capital expenditure decision, it involves taking multifold permissions or approvals from different authorities. So if you look at different organizations listed below, there are different schemes and new schemes which have come with modifications to make this procedure quicker. However, there are these authorities involved in the decision-making process when it comes to capital expenditure. So first, there would be board of directors of the undertaking. Now, the government has allowed the board of directors to take decisions with respect to whether first decision, short-term capital, so short capital expenditures or smaller quantum of capital expenditure up to a particular level defined by the government, the decision can be taken by the board whether that capital expenditure is allowed or disallowed. So first, you go to your board of directors. They're going to review, screen what kind of capital expenditure you want to do. And if they find it really worth it, if they find that's not going to lose money for the government, yes, they will allow you to go ahead with that decision. So initial screening done by the board of directors. Then there is an administrative ministry. Second level, you'll go to the administrative ministry. And you will go and submit your application with respect to what capital expenditure you want to do and why that particular expenditure is necessary, which will also check what are the comments from the board of directors and screen whether that capital expenditure would be allowed or no. They'll also help you allocate the funds in case of such CapEx decision. You may further go to Public Investment Board. Now, Public Investment Board is that board which will approve all the proposals which are 5 crore plus. So, if you are going for a capital expenditure, if it is 1 crore and plus, there could be an administrative ministry which would decide whether you want to take it ahead or no. But when it's 5 crore and plus, Public Investment Board will, you know, minutely review this application. And if it feels that this particular capital expenditure is a must, may give you that respective approval. In case you're going for a capital expenditure which is coming with a 5-year plan, then even the Public Investment Board would not give the approval on its own. It will put it to the Planning Commission. So all the projects which come with the 5-year plus plan would be put to the Planning Commission for approval. So the Planning Commission will now screen it, decide it whether they really have that money to give you so that you can do a capital expenditure in your particular unit. After it's been approved in the Planning Commission, it comes in the plan of 5-year, what the plan or what kind of investment will be done, the Ministry of Finance would check and allocate funds with respect to whatever capital expenditure you wanted to do. There is also a Bureau of Public Enterprise, which is again under the Ministry of Finance, which is actually controlling and reviewing such applications. And they will also check and screen what kind of money is spent, how much budget was allocated, whether there is any kind of discrepancy with respect to the money allocation or usage. So they'll also check and give you a yes or a no for further investment. We also have the Director General of Technical Development, which will also give you technical assistance and expertise to do a particular capital expenditure. So if you want any kind of technical advice, DGTD will help you to get the best advice so that you can do the business better. We also have a foreign currency board now. In case you're going for a foreign collaboration or if there is a foreign entity involved in any such kind of public sector undertaking, so that board will check what kind of transactions you are doing, whether the risk is kept in proper control or no. So these are with respect to capital expenditure decisions in public sector undertaking. So if a public sector unit is going to open something on a foreign land, you'll also require permission from foreign board, irrespective of all these bodies. So now let's talk about what is the budgeting process. We know these are different parties who have screened. They are going to give you money. And now you've got the right approvals for starting up a CapEx decision. So when you're doing a CapEx decision, we are clear that how the money or the how the approvals are flowing. Similarly, every public sector undertaking has to provide an annual budget or a quarterly budget of all its expenses and income. So these public sector undertakings will tell us whether they are actually going to spend money or they go, and what could be the inflows after spending X money, how much inventory they would be holding, and what's the total budget of their expenses and income. If that's the case, let's look at how the budgeting process flows. First, in the budgeting process, you being part of public sector enterprise, heading the enterprise, you'll come up with a strategic plan. So you'll prepare a plan what needs to be done for the coming quarter, you know, coming 6 months or coming 1 year, and how you would spend money, what would be your expenses. So first you will plan all your expenses, and you'll also try to inform in advance how do you see inflow of funds. So how, what kind of sales would come, from where money would come. Will it come from subsidies, grants, or from actual sales? So inflows and outflows would be clearly defined. Second, after you've cleared this plan, you have your inflows and outflows in place, you start preparing the budget. So you make a budget, whether annually, quarterly, half yearly. And then in this budget, you will have different formats of budgets which you will prepare. So under the master budget, you'll have the revenue budget. Revenue budget will talk about all inflows which this public sector undertaking is going to receive. How much is the demand you are expecting? How much would be your total sales? Please remember, most of these companies are for a social objective. And the idea is to ensure that you are at a no profit, no loss situation also at times. So in this revenue, you will not only see sales, but you will also see subsidies coming in. You will see grants coming in. You may also see government funding coming in through a particular scheme. So this revenue budget will talk about what from all sources do you see money coming in. Second, you'll prepare an expense budget. Expense budget will talk about for the company, what are the total expenses, whether operating expenses, non-operating expenses, how much is the expected expense in this coming quarter or a year, and how much money would be required by this particular undertaking. Then you'll prepare a capital budget. Capital budget will talk about any kind of capital expenditure you want to do and how this particular capital expenditure is going to change your cash inflows. So you'll also prepare a capital budget, take the respective approvals as discussed in the previous slide. You'll also have a budget review and approval done by your board of directors, by the top management, and then finalize it. Once it is finalized and approved by the board and by the respective authorities, you'll implement the budget. So you'll implement the budget. You will be now allowing people to spend the money which is allocated for different activities. You'll inform each body how much money to be spent for what activity. You'll also monitor and control this budget. You'll find out if there, what is the difference between the budgeted amount, actual and forecasted or budgeted. In case there's a variance, you'll take corrective action to clear those variances. So you'll check for variances, you'll monitor and control so that you're well in limits of whatever is allocated to you in money. You'll further report all this to the authorities. So you will go to the ministry, you'll go to different boards from whom you take approval, you'll inform them what's happening with respect to this public sector undertaking, whether it's in profit or loss. So you will give those reports to state government or central government, however you've been registered as a public sector undertaking. And you'll see that these undertakings are not only accountable and they're not only reporting, but now they've become very dynamic. They are okay and they are now flexible to adopt to any new changes happening in the in the market, so that they are able to change their services or give you better services compared to whatever the major mass requires. So a lot of flexibility and adaptability would also be there in the budget to change the expenses or change the head for the larger benefit of the society. So this is with respect to budgeting. Let's talk about pricing. How are these public sector undertakings deciding the prices? Since it's a public sector enterprise, you'll actually find that there are administrative pricing. Administrative pricing basically means price is fixed by the government. You don't have any control to change the prices. You don't look at market demand and supply to decide the price. And usually this price approach, under administrative pricing would usually be public utility approach or rate of return approach. So public utility approach is look at the masses, what they want, how much money they can afford, and decide the pricing. And rate of return approach is look at whatever money the government has put. It should be in a no profit, no loss situation, at least to recover that money back. So you will decide the price either on a public utility approach or a rate of return approach. So public utility, if you see, no profit, no loss situation. And these units would be basically the ones which are there in basic industries. You will see that these are basically also giving a lot of inputs to bigger companies, oil refining companies, say, for example. So they try to keep the prices as low as possible so that there is no, there is no dearth of raw material for these bigger oil companies which are processing oil and giving you petroleum products maybe. come to what are the guidelines which are set for public sector undertakings. We now know how pricing is done. We know budgeting. We also understand what are the approvals. Now, what are the guidelines which are set when it comes to these public sector undertakings? So if you look at these undertakings are mostly in industrial manufacturing areas wherein the companies may earn a surplus and they're able to generate a lot of funds. Now, whenever a company is generating, a public sector unit is generating a lot of capital surplus or funds, you know, they may again reuse it for economic development. In such a case, the notional price and income policy of the private sector would be kept in mind while fixing prices. So if I am dealing as a public sector entity into a market where there are private companies also in place, I'll try to match up to the prices of the private sector without disturbing my private sector, peers. So I will not try to do something which actually hampers business for them. If you look at public utility services to be the main objective, if that's the reason the public sector enterprise was created, the more focus would be on output rather than on rate of return of investment. So how much more service can you give? How much more output can you generate? Would be the prime focus or should be the prime focus as per the guidelines set up by the government. If you also look at these public sector undertakings, they would usually ensure there is full capacity utilization. There is no wastage of any resources since you are answerable to the government of any kind of losses.